Good morning.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas. Look at somebody and say, I'm glad you're here. Merry Christmas. Praise the Lord. No, I haven't grown taller. This is just down here. Praise the Lord. I suppose I could get down like this, but I... That's like
better.
It. There, that's better. Somebody put on here mini message. Pastor Lynn, what's that mean? Mini means something different to me than to someone else, but I'll do my best here. Praise the Lord. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're visiting here today, I think you'll see that this is a small church that loves Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And we're a small church, and we do big things for Jesus.
Amen.
And we glorify him. We're not ashamed of him, and we praise his mighty name. So our theme today was go tell, go tell. I came across a quotation that I really liked. It said, this is Christmas, not the tinsel, not the giving and receiving, not even the carols, but the humble heart that receives anew the wondrous gift, the Christ. That's a great quotation right there. That's what it's all about, is Jesus Christ. It's not about anyone or anything. It's about Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, if you watch any of the sitcoms today, the cartoons or whatever, it's all about canceling Christmas. Amen? Getting rid of Christmas, stopping Christmas. The Grinch wanted to stop Christmas. He can't do it. Santa Claus was going to cancel Christmas, and he can't do it. It's not going to happen. And even like during Jesus' time, you know, they wanted to stop him from spreading the good news. Even way back then, society tried to stop. But what did the disciples do? They still went forward, and they turned the world upside down for Christ. Praise the Lord. So our text today, I'm going to be reading from the book of Luke, chapter 2. And it describes four responses of those who first heard the news that Christ had been born. And each verse tells of a different response, and the four responses together tell us how to celebrate Christmas, not just in December, but all year long. Amen? Way back in Isaiah 9:6, it was already prophesied about a coming king. Luke chapter 2, verse 11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." So again, you can tell our theme today was go tell. Go tell. Luke 2:17 says, "And when they had seen, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child." First response. First response. They were proclaiming, weren't they? They were proclaiming. Luke tells us that the shepherds made known. They had made known. And you know, back during that time, shepherds generally came from the base elements of society. And I was thinking about that too. Many times, if you read through the scriptures all the way from the old all the way into the new, many times the Lord used the down and outers, the nobodies, the misfits, what society would call them. But God saw something great inside of them, and he spread the news, you know, changed the world by using these types of people. And that's why we never, ever cast anyone away, because we never know what God is going to be doing through them. See, in that day, shepherds were considered to be the lowest rung on the economic ladder and had little or no formal education. And it's entirely possible that these shepherds who heard the angels singing were illiterate. We don't know. And that makes this story even more remarkable to me. First, they heard and saw the spectacular angelic revelation. It says in Luke chapter 2, 9 and 10, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people." Yeah. Praise the Lord. See, then they went to Bethlehem. They discovered the Savior of the world in a feeding trough in a rough outdoor barn, or perhaps it could have even been a cave carved out too. We don't know. And in Luke 2:16, it says, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger." You know, the birth and revelation didn't seem to come together at that point, did it? It didn't to me when I was reading. Yet there was all from the hand of God. It was all put there by the hand of God. And consider this, on the night in Bethlehem, outside of Joseph and Mary themselves, the only people in the world who knew Christ had been born were their shepherds. Isn't that something? They were the only ones. After 400 years of being silent, when God did not speak through prophets, or he did, he now speaks through angels to the lowly shepherds on a remote hillside. That's who he spoke through. It wasn't a likely way to win the world, was it? Certainly not the way we would have done it. If we had planned that Jesus would have been born in Jerusalem to a wealthy family and attended by the high and mighty, we would have really drawn attention to him. But see, that way no one would doubt that the Son of God had come to earth. But God's ways and our ways are not the same. The Scriptures teach us that his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. Did you know that? See, we try to reason everything out and put something to it, but it may be totally different than what God is thinking or doing in life, because we look at these shepherds, and who would have ever guessed the God of the universe would have talked to shepherds? See, after their initial and understandably fear, they responded in faith in Luke chapter 2, 12 and 15. It says, "And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes." Lying in a manger. "And suddenly there was the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them in heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is to come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." See, they believed the angel. They immediately went to Bethlehem and they found the baby Jesus, and everything was just as the angel said it would be. The second response is wondering. And what did they do then? They told everyone they met what they had seen and heard. In Luke chapter 2, 17 and 18, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." Would you believe it if somebody came to you and told you there was an angel that met you and told you all these wondrous things, and then there was a multitude of angels? Would you believe it? Or would you wonder? I wonder. See, the story itself would sound incredible. The part about hearing the angelic choir in the middle of the night, not to mention finding the Son of God in a feeding trough. And to think God chose lowly shepherds as the very first evangelist. Isn't that amazing? I wonder if we would have been as obedient. Would we? Would we have believed? Would we have gone to Bethlehem in the middle of the night? Would we have been as quick to go tell the story? Or would we say, that's something private between me and God? No. I would hope that we would go out and tell the same story. See, they did what all Christians should do. They told others what they had seen and heard. They made known about Jesus. We need more of that today too, because we're in a hurting world. We're in a world that is changing so fast and so rapidly, and the world events are coming upon us, and there's a fear in the world, and there's anxiety and depression and oppression throughout our world. And guess what, people? We have good news. Because see, the Jesus that we were singing about and talking about today, he's alive today. No other religion can say that. Nobody else can say that. No religion. Muslims, Hindus, none of them. Their leaders are all dead. Their small g gods are dead and gone. They're not there. But see, the grave, the tomb was empty. Jesus arose from the dead. We have good news like the shepherds, and we can go out into a dying world and tell somebody there's hope. There's hope. Praise the Lord. When you get down to it, that's all evangelism is. It's not trying to shove religion down anybody's throats. It's sharing the good news about Jesus Christ. And if you're not sharing it, you're missing out on the greatest opportunity that God has given you as a Christian. And the third response is pondering. Luke 2:19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Can you imagine Mary, you know, sitting there with that little baby or laying or whatever, looking at it, and all of a sudden these shepherds come in and say, this angel came and told me. And she's looking at him and pondering what he's saying and saying that the multitude of angels were praising and glorifying God. And she's sitting there and she's thinking, this is the Savior of the world. What am I going to do, God? Can you imagine? There may have been fear. There may have been anxiety along with joy and to be exhilarant. But here she held the Savior of the whole world that came to save the people of the world. And here he was laying in her arms. And now these shepherds come in and verify that indeed that is the Savior. Can you imagine Mary pondering? It says, the word, you know, something I was thinking about, the word pondered goes deeper than wondering. It means to take the events as you've laid them out in your memory and then go beneath the surface to try to understand what it all means and why it all happened the way it did. And did you know pondering's hard work? It's real hard work, and many of us never get around to doing it. And we miss out on what God has got for us. And lastly, the fourth response is glorifying. In Luke chapter 2, verse 20, it says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. They were excited people. I remember when I first got saved, I got born again. I remember how excited I was. I still am. I went out and I told everybody, I'm a bivocational pastor, by the way. I have another job. And I've been in sales most of my life, and I've gone out and I've shared the gospel. When I first got saved, I did some things that were really stupid. And I went out and shared that good news. I do it a little bit differently now, but I still do it because I'm excited about this Jesus. See, this verse tells us that the shepherds were profoundly changed by what they had experienced. What a difference a day makes in our lives, doesn't it? What a day there in the field. I thought how our days can change too. One moment our day can be up and we can get a phone call, it can go right down to the bottom, can it? Just in one day. One day before Christ was born, they were in the fields tending their sheep. On the day after he was born, they were back in the fields once again. Can you imagine that? Only this time they were back in the field tending their sheep, but their hearts were filled. They were filled with the praise to God. Would you like Christmas to last all year long? And that's the sad part. Some people, they celebrate Christmas for maybe one day, maybe 12 days out of the year. And after it's gone, they're depressed. There's nothing left. But when you have Jesus Christ, and that's why he came to the earth to die for you and I, we can have him all year long. See, I'm not depressed when Christmas is gone. I'm excited. For Jesus will never leave me nor forsake me. He's with me throughout that whole year. See, if you will do what the shepherds did, go back to where you came from, people. Go back to your office. Go back to the classroom. Go back to the factory. Go back to your neighborhood. Go back to your job and go tell somebody. Good news is for sharing, and that's what the shepherds did. That's what all of us are called to do, to go tell. Luke 2:11 again, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And many of us take that for granted when we read that, but we don't realize the importance of what God did when he sent his only Son into the world for our sins. See, this is the first way we can celebrate Christmas. How should we celebrate this great day? The first and most obvious answer is this. You should celebrate Christmas by becoming a Christian if you're not one, if you're in here this morning. That's the best way to celebrate it. After all, this is why Jesus came to earth. He was born to be a Savior. And people, if you're in here and you think, well, I'm a Christian because I live in America, that doesn't make you a Christian. And you may come in here and say, well, I go to such and such a church, a denomination, and therefore I am a Christian. That does not make you a Christian. It does not. It's not in the Scripture. If you can show me in the Word of God, I'll believe you, but it's not in there. And until you can call Him my Savior, my Lord, you will never fully understand what Christmas is all about. And I'm just going to read through these rapidly here, some Scripture verses, and stop right there. I'm honoring the word many here. But John 3:3, listen to these, because this is the Word of God. And when I read these out to you, everybody in here, you'll never, ever be able to kick them away from your mind. Because God says His Word will never return void. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus said that. That Savior, that baby in a manger, He said that. Why did He say that if it's just automatic that you and I can be saved or we have salvation because Jesus died for our sins? Jesus said we had to be born again. Scripture teaches in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There you go again. Jesus did not come into the world to condemn us, but He came here to save us. That's why He came. He loves us. And He gives us an opportunity to repent. Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. See, it's His blood that washes our sins away. It's His blood, not any good works that we do. Our good works are a stench in the nostrils of God. If you think I'll stand before Him one day and say I get to go to heaven because I'm such a wonderful, good person, you won't make it into heaven. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we can enter heaven, because that's what washes our sins away. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, not one person. Romans 5:8, but God commanded His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That shows His love right there. While we're yet sinners, He gave His life. How many of us would do that for someone that is a sinner and rejected and hated us? Jesus did that. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, speaking to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way, people. We need to tell others that. There's multitudes by multitudes that are going down a broad path, and Jesus has got the narrow way. He is the narrow way. And you're saying, Pastor, you're really narrow-minded. Yes, I am. I'm as narrow-minded as that book that I read, the Bible. Jesus is the way, that little baby in a manger. And lastly, Revelation 19:16, and He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the commander of the heavenly armies, people. And He's coming back as judge. This little baby that was born in over 2,000 years ago is no longer a baby in a manger. We got to get past that. We celebrate the birth, but now we celebrate His return. He's coming again. He said He would before. He did. And He said He's coming back again, and He will. And He's not coming back as a baby in a manger. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He's coming back as our judge. So, praise the Lord. I'll stop right there.
I heard heard the bells on Christmas Day. Their old familiar carols play. And mild and sweet their songs repeat. Of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells are ringing like a choir they're singing. In my heart I hear them. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. But the bells are ringing like a choir singing. Does anybody hear them? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then ring the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the light prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then ringing, singing on its way. The world revolved from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime. Of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells, they're ringing like a choir they're singing. And with our hearts we'll hear them. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Do you hear the bells they're ringing? Peace on earth. Peace on earth. Open up your hearts and hear them. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Peace on earth. Peace on earth. Peace on earth. Goodwill to men.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Here I am again. Praise the Lord. Would everybody stand with me, please? You know, you may have walked in here today and you didn't know what to expect or anything, and maybe the Holy Spirit has tugged at your heart and saying, I need Jesus in my life. And he is the Prince of Peace. He came here. And we're celebrating him today, but I believe to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants us to continually tell and exhort people to come to Him. And with all of our heads bowed, I would like to ask, is there anybody in here this morning that you've heard the message, you sense what Jesus has done, and you've never made a personal commitment to Him? And Jesus said, it is appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. There's no second chance. And that's why He came here. That's what we're celebrating. You might say, well, Pastor, you're talking doomsday. No, I'm not. I'm talking an exciting thing that Jesus came to earth to die for our sins. And He came here Himself. His first message when He preached was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For He knows you and I are frail, and that one day we could drop dead. And I would ask you, if that happened to you today, and it could, are you ready? Do you know for a fact that you would stand in eternity before this living Jesus? And if you can't say that, I would be fearful. You don't want to leave home without Jesus. And if there's, is there anybody in here this morning? And it takes courage to raise your hand. I've done it. Is there anybody in here this morning say, Pastor, I need Jesus? Put your hand up in the air. Just put it up in the air. This may be your last opportunity to ever have that opportunity to hear. We don't want to miss anybody. Hallelujah, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning and we thank You and we praise You for this day. And Lord, I pray that if there be anybody in here that has missed this opportunity, that the Holy Spirit will continue to convict their hearts in the moments and the days ahead, that they will not have rest until they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ in their life. And now, Lord, I pray for every family member that's here this morning, that You will supernaturally move upon their lives. Bless their homes, bless their families, Lord. And Father, let us be united in knowing that Jesus died for our sins and that we're forgiven, not because of what we did, because of what He did. And I pray that we keep in our hearts the true meaning of Christmas. And it's about Jesus coming to earth and dying for us and rising from the dead and coming back one day. And we praise You and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.